The following is a question and answer session given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasavikari, recorded on December 28th, 2012 in Melbourne, Australia.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jathal Parakamala Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragnitan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine So, what do I know how to answer any question? But, Prabhupada's mercy, the knowledge Prabhupada has given me, we can take Prabhupada's, but Prabhupada's knowledge, you see, and we can answer every question. This is our philosophy. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Granjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shigulave Namaha. I was standing in the darkness of ignorance when my spiritual master came to me with the torchlight of knowledge and he is forcing my eyes open. Therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So whatever answer I may give, it is by the mercy of Prabhupada. So I'm not giving you my answers, I'm giving you Prabhupada's answers. 41 and a half years I've studied and followed Prabhupada's teachings. So I've understood Prabhupada's way of answering, Prabhupada's answers, what Prabhupada would say. Because it's written in his books, it's in his lectures, his conversations, his letters. He's so wonderfully answered all these questions that we may have. We simply have to look to Prabhupada's teachings and we can get the answers to all the questions. So there's some paper and pencil or pens around. Write your questions down. And we're going to start here with some that are from leftover from yesterday. If everything is happening according to Krishna's will, then where will individual free will come? The example is the state, the government, you see. They regulate everything that's going on. They have the power over everything that happens here in Australia. Now, but each citizen has a choice whether they like to obey the state laws or try to disobey the state laws. Those who voluntarily agree to obey the state laws, they're given the status of a free citizen. They can, you know, they can could come in and out of the country at will. They have all kinds of freedoms because they have voluntarily agreed to accept the authority of the state. A criminal who does not accept the authority of the state, he's forced to obey the state laws in a more stringent way within the prison, you see. So the government's will is acting in every sphere, both for the law-abiding citizen and for the non-law-abiding citizen. But the citizen has a choice. Does he want to voluntarily follow the state laws, or does he want to defy them? And then he's forced to follow them anyway. So even though everything is happening according to Krishna's will, his will also is that we have a free choice whether to obey him or disobey him. And he reciprocates with us according to the choice that we make. If he wanted to, he could turn us into slaves, but our robots, but that wouldn't be any fun for him. I remember when I was a kid, there was a popular show in the U.S. called The Twilight Zone. All kinds of far-out things they used to show in that show. But there was some story of this man who had somehow gotten stranded on a planet in outer space. And then he had a beautiful companion, a beautiful female companion. But then they came to rescue him from the planet. And he said he wanted to bring the woman with him. They said, oh, it's only a robot, so you don't have to worry about it, just a machine. And then they shot, and then it opened, all the springs came out, and it was just a machine. So Krishna doesn't want to have just machines. He wants to have, it's no fun, just like you can buy a dog robot, you see. He doesn't pass urine. You don't have to worry about him passing urine on your rug. But it's more fun to have a dog that's really a living being than to have just a robot dog, you see. So Krishna could have robots. He could have us all as robots, but it's no fun associating with a robot. There's no rasa there. You see what I'm saying? You can't have a rasa with a robot. But with an actual living being who has the free will to love you or leave you, then you can have a very interesting relationship. So Krishna, because he wants interesting relationships, he's after all the supreme enjoyer, Rasaraj, the king of all loving exchanges. He endows every single living entity with the free will to love him or to leave him, so he can enjoy having a relationship with every living entity. So God does have absolute power, but he relegates some of his power to us for the sake of his own enjoyment. What should one do when you offer vegetables and fruits to Lord Krishna and demigods or demigoddesses take that offering? What do you mean they take the offering? They come in and grab it off the altar? What does it mean they take the offering? Actually, when you offer prasadam to Krishna, the benefit goes to every single living entity throughout all of existence, not only the demigods, because when you water the root, all the leaves and branches are nourished. So when you offer prasadam to Krishna, actually you're benefiting every single living entity throughout all of existence. And that's fine. That's great. If a devotee does not get much association with his guru's vapu, that means his physical presence, can he still make advancement? Sure. Prabhupada associated with his spiritual master not more than 10 times. Not more. And he told us that the association with the spiritual master's instructions is more important than his physical presence. And personally, I hardly got any personal association with Prabhupada. I got to see him in San Francisco, that's once. In L.A., that's twice. In Pittsburgh, that's 3 times. New Vrindavan, that's 4. Atlanta, 5 times. On 5 different occasions. And that was it. You see. But Prabhupada's instructions were have been my content association for the last 42 years. You see? So if one takes the orders of one's spiritual master as one's very life and soul, he embraces them within his heart of hearts. Then he has the content association of his spiritual master in a form more powerful than his physical body even. So from my own experience, I can tell you, you don't need that. Whatever association you can get with your Guru's Vapu, go for it. It's the greatest nectar. It's something you'll never forget. Why? Because it helps you to connect with his teachings. The more you can connect, the more you have the chance to physically serve and take every opportunity you can. Because that will help you to connect with his teachings, which is the real association, to connect with the teachings of the spiritual master. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, intelligence should be above the mind, chapter 3. We also know from Srimad Bhagavatam that the mind is a product of false ego and goodness, while intelligence is a product of false ego and passion. How could then passion control goodness? Can you explain this? Actually, passion does not control goodness. Just because the intelligence is a product of the mode of passion I have to admit, it's a very interesting phenomenon. I've wondered the same thing myself. The mind is a product of goodness, and the intelligence is a product of passion. It seems like it'd be the other way around, doesn't it? Since intelligence is higher than mind, and goodness is higher than passion, it seems logical that the mind would be the product of passion, the intelligence would be the product of goodness. But actually, it's not that way. And why it is, I can't say. You have to ask Krishna. He's the one who's behind the whole thing. In other words, just because intelligence is a product of passion and mind is a product of goodness does not mean that mind is higher than intelligence. Why it's that way, we can't say. Krishna knows, but it doesn't in any way lower the position of intelligence as being more important than mind. The real thing to understand is, why is intelligence more important than the mind? That's the real thing to understand. So you can properly use your intelligence to bring your mind under control. That's the important thing. Intelligence is the discriminating factor. You can analyze the pros and cons, you see. It's like you can take anything. Should I do this or should I not do it? And then you put all the pros and cons of doing it and all the pros and cons of not doing it. And you carefully study all the pros and cons of doing that thing or not doing that thing. That's using your intelligence, you see. The mind is like the on-off switch. Except that which actually accepts or rejects something, that's the mind. But that, if that is done without intelligence, then you'll be pulled by your senses to accept things that are not favorable for your Krishna consciousness and to reject things that are favorable for your Krishna consciousness. Therefore, with proper purified intelligence gained by studying the Vedic wisdom, by hearing from the spiritual master, by hearing from the Vaishnavas, from chanting Hare Krishna, from taking prasadam, from taking darshan of the deities, by worshipping Tulsi Devi, all of these things give us intelligence. Understand? So we should use this purified intelligence then to engage the mind properly, to not the mind accepts things that are not favorable for Krishna consciousness and rejects things that are favorable. With intelligence, proper purified intelligence, then you can accept what is favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject what is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. Many times while doing any of my service, I tend to be more result-oriented. How to deal with this attitude? That's great. We should be result-oriented for Krishna. Not for my name and fame. But for Krishna, we should be very, very result-oriented. Prabhupada gave us an instruction in Los Angeles. He said, become guru and deliver the whole world. Is that being result-oriented? Deliver the whole world? That's a very big result. Prabhupada told us to be result-oriented. Now you, my disciples, must become guru and you must deliver the whole world. Now that's a very big result, orientation. For our own name and fame, no, I'm detached. I don't want to take any credit, you see, for anything. I don't need any credit that I'm great or I'm this or I'm that. No. Let me just serve the mission. But for the sake of Prabhupada's mission, we want the biggest possible results we can get every day at every minute. You see. So for ourselves, no result orientation, but for the mission of Prabhupada, we have unlimited desires. We want that every high court judge in every country of this planet should wear Vaishnava tilak. You see. And then they rule against this sinful child murder thing they call abortion. Murdering children. In the U.S. alone, every year 1.4 million children are killed, and then they cry over 20 being shot in a school. Why not cry over the 1.4 million children that you are saying, yes, it's okay to murder them. It's good to murder them. Why not cry over that stupidity instead of crying over some madman shooting 20 children? You see? So we're very result-oriented. We want to turn the whole world upside down. We want to bring the world back to sanity from its present state of insanity. We are very, very, very result-oriented people in this movement. We are not the yatamat tatapat people. Say, well, you know, whatever you... You know, as many paths, as many opinions. You think it's okay to murder babies? Well, it's okay for you. You think it's okay to kill cows? It's okay for you. Whatever your philosophy is, it's okay because it's your philosophy. No, we don't accept such philosophical rubbish. There is a standard coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead of what human life means, and we want to establish that standard in every town and every village of this planet. We are the most result. We are more result oriented than Stephen Jobs. Yes. How to control anger and lust? Well, you should get angry about the demoniac situation on this planet. Use your anger for preaching. That's what I do. I'm really, really. I'm a very angry person, actually. I'm full of anger that they are not obeying the principles of Dharma. I'm full of anger at these rascal leaders, the rascal... I tell you, one who makes my blood boil the most is Dr. Stephen Hawking. He says that the universe came out of absolutely nothing. He literally says, from YouTube. It's actually his computer synthesized voice. He says, now science has evolved. We finally realized the great advancement of science is we have realized the universe comes out of absolutely nothing. And he's applauded as the greatest scientist. He can have audience with any president, with any prime minister, practically in the whole world. Is the greatest brain on this, they celebrate him as the greatest brain on this planet. And he says the universe came out of absolutely nothing. And they call it science. Where is the scientific experiment that you can get something out of nothing? I tried it in Malaysia. I did an experiment. I took a stove. My disciples got me a little apartment to stay in, the kitchenette, and I had an empty pot. So I tried it. I took an empty pot. I turned on the stove, I put it on there, and I went, pop, 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 and no popcorn came out. Not one kernel of popcorn came popping out of that pot. So I can understand, if you can't even get popcorn out of an empty pot, how can we get the whole universe out of an empty pot? You understand? And he calls himself a scientist. So this makes me angry. Of course, I'm also laughing out loud at how ridiculous these people are, you know. I have a big chuckle over them as well. It's a kind of a mixture of anger and laughing out loud. I mean, it's so damn ridiculous. And they're celebrated as leaders, PhD, Nobel laureate, prime minister, professor of this. You know, it's all garbage. So we should use our anger to defeat this rascal, demoniac civilization. As far as lust, well, you can have Krishna conscious children. You can use lust for them. Purify your lust by raising a family. Use your lusty tendency to have Krishna conscious children. That way you can control your lust. Or if you don't want to have children, then tell Mr. Lust to go next door. Take a hike, buddy. I don't need you here. You see? I mean, lust is born from the false bodily conception of the self. If you realize that you're not your body, then lust is not even an issue anymore, you see. Lust only hits when you think that I am this body. You see? If you get your happiness from your relationship with Krishna, then who needs lust? Krishna, you see, Krishna is the attractor of Cupid. Cupid is the lust inciter. That little fellow flying around with his quiver of arrows, zing, 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 zapping you with lusty arrows in the heart, you see. But actually, that Cupid, in Sanskrit, he is called Madan, or Kamadev. He is, he's captivated by Krishna. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham, you see. That Krishna, he is charming millions of cupids, described in the Brahma Samhita. So, that person who attracts us, he becomes captivated by Krishna. So, if you become captivated by Krishna, then lust cannot touch you. You see, just like that Jamanacharya Abhandru, he said, now that I become captivated by Krishna, if lusty thoughts come, I just spit at these disgusting, abominable thoughts, you see. So the real thing is to control lust, you just become Krishna conscious. I mean, Krishna, how much pleasure is there in gratifying your lusty desires? I mean, it's intense pleasure for a few seconds and that's about it. But I guarantee you, the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, if you really get into it, is millions and billions of times better than sex. So, you know, who wants to settle for some low-class, abominable, so-called pleasure when you can get unlimited nectar from simply by saying these two syllables, Krishna, you see? So it's an easy way to get rid of lust. All you have to do is say Krishna with feeling. It's all you have to do. And lust will just have to go somewhere else. He won't find a good place to... He won't find a vacancy in the hotel of your heart. All the rooms will be filled up with Krishna consciousness. When he comes to check into the hotel of your heart, there will be a big sign that says, no vacancy. Very good. The next question was related to the first answer. How can we best influence the leaders of today's world? Is this your handwriting? No, okay. To what degree we can change the current world situation? Well, I'll tell you right now. To whatever degree we can change our own hearts, to that degree we'll have an impact on this planet. You will have the potency to change the world to whatever extent you may be able to truly change yourself. as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text number 21. Yad yad acharati shrestas tat tat eva tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. You know that verse? Whatever standard is said by the great person, the common people follow in his footsteps. In this way, whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So it's simply up to you how much of an impact do you want to have on this planet to Krishnize the place. How much do you desire to Krishnize planet Earth? You will have that power, that potency, to whatever degree you have Krishnized your own heart. So if you cannot stand the abominable condition on this planet and you want to Krishnize the whole place, you have nothing else to do except to become a pure devotee. That's all. Prabhupada says one pure devotee can deliver the entire universe. So if you can't stand the abomination going on here every day in Melbourne, you see, or Sydney or New York or wherever you may be, then you become the pure devotee. You strive for pure bhakti to the full energy at every minute. What is the best practical way of converting? It's the same question. I already answered that one. Okay. How do I prioritize the chanting in the busy day schedule? It's very simple. Chanting is number one on your priority list. Why would you want it to be anything else? Chanting is numero uno. It's number one. First thing. I'll tell you why. Because if you do 16 good rounds first thing, now you're surcharged with bhakti. Now you can see everything in relation to Krishna. You can see your job in relation to Krishna. You can see your family in relation to Krishna. You can see even your bodily maintenance in relation with Krishna. You can see everything. If you chant very good rounds first thing in the day, you will see everything in relation with Krishna throughout the whole day. But if you just get out of bed, you know, go to work, you don't see a relation with Krishna. Your mind's all spaced out, bewildered, because you're not focused. And at the end of the day, you try to get your rounds done, you're drowsy and nodding off. You see, it doesn't make... It's therefore, the round should be your first business. Instead of staying up late to finish your japa, go to bed early and get up early to chant your japa as much as you possibly can. 16 is the best. If you can't do that, then do 15 before you go to work. If you can't do 15, then do 14. In this way, try to finish 16 rounds before you do anything else in the day. And that's what I do. And it's really good. It's really powerful. At what age should we encourage the kids to start chanting? Well, off the beads, they can chant immediately. On the beads, when they can properly respect the beads and honor them. But they should be encouraged to chant in the very beginning, even when they come out of the womb, instead of going goo 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 goo. Baby, 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 oh, little boy, goo 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 goo. Instead of going like that, go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. In this way, give them the holy name from the very beginning. Encourage that, let the first word that comes out of the child's mouth be Krishna. You see, make that your goal when you have a baby. Let me chant Krishna so much that the first word that comes out of the child's mouth is Krishna. You see. So in this way, raise your children to be Krishna conscious. Sometimes I feel very enthusiastic in the spiritual life, and sometimes I feel that my spiritual life is stagnant. Why so? What is wrong? Well, you're a neophyte. Join the club. We neophytes sometimes are really fired up, and sometimes we're just somehow barely hanging in there, isn't it? So the key is, how do you get from the neophyte stage to the advanced stage? You just have to be steady. Do your duty every day. Chant your rounds, follow the principles, read Prabhupada's books, associate with devotees. In this way, hang in there, be patient, And gradually, gradually, gradually. The key is always maintain your enthusiasm. And along with that enthusiasm, be determined and be patient. Because it's not going to, I mean, to get where I'm at spiritually, it took me 41 and a half years, or almost 42 years, to get where I am now. And I still got a long way to go, you see. It took me 42 years to get where I am now. But I tell you, it's been a blissful ride the whole way. It was blissful in the beginning, and it just gets more and more and more blissful at every step. If you keep that, you got to keep that enthusiasm up, no matter what. Always keep your enthusiasm up for Krishna consciousness. Don't ever let it go away. That's the key. Whatever you do, always remain enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness. No matter what your mind may say, no matter what may happen around you, always keep that enthusiasm as your most precious possession. The enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness. Don't let anything ever take it away. Why does Krishna always have a peacock feather? Shreya. Thank you, Shreya, for your nice question. Krishna has a peacock feather because it really looks cool. I mean, it's really a cool-looking thing, you know, the peacock feather. Wow, I mean, it's really cool-looking, you know. He wants to attract Radharani. She likes the peacock feather a lot. So Krishna is always wearing the peacock feather to attract Radharani, and he likes it too. Okay. Why do tears flow seeing deities during kirtan? Because you are awakening your original identity as a pure devotee of Krishna. Gradually, gradually, gradually. Good things happen to, or bad things happen to good people. Does it mean that Krishna is testing you to extreme? Actually, a devotee sees everything as good. Someone who is actually Krishna conscious never sees anything as bad. He sees how the loving hand of Krishna is blessing him at every minute. That is Krishna consciousness. If one thinks bad things are happening to him, it means he's not Krishna conscious. It may be bad from a material point of view, but a devotee takes everything as the greatest blessing. Sometimes it's bewildering to understand. Even Prabhupada told us, of course it is a pastime, but he could not understand. There was a time in ISKCON's history when some poison came in from the Gaudiya Mutt to minimize Prabhupada's position. They were poisoning Prabhupada's disciples to, why are you calling him Prabhupada? You know, all this kind of stuff. Only Bhakti Siddhanta is Prabhupada. This poison was entering ISKCON from Prabhupada's godbrothers, envious godbrothers. And Prabhupada saw it manifest in different ways. On one of the books, they didn't put his divine grace on his name. He could see it popping up in different ways, and he became very, very disturbed. That's when he formed the GBC. He called all the leading devotees and formed the Governing Body Commission in 1970 in Los Angeles. He was so disturbed at that time, he told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, "Get me out of here." He was so agitated by the atmosphere. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Tamal Krishna, I think he was Das Adhikari at the time, but he said, "Where do you want to go, Srila Prabhupada?" "Florida? That's about 3,000 miles away." He said, "No, that's not far enough." And then Prabhupada came to India, actually, at that time, started the movement. But Prabhupada said, he prayed to Rukmini Dwarkadish, "Why are you driving me away?" He could not understand. Even Prabhupada showed this pastime. He could not understand why this was happening. He had worked so hard to start the movement, and now he saw the whole thing is practically caving in. He could not understand what was going on. But then later on, when He went to India. All these big projects came on. He understood it was Krishna's plan to expand the movement to India. The Bombay Center came up. The Mayapur Center, Vrindavan, all these big, huge projects came up in India. And he understood this was Krishna's arrangement so the movement could expand to India. And now we see India has the biggest preaching in the whole ISKCON. The most amazing. We go to in the Pune, for example, Pune Brahmacharya Ashram, 300 Brahmacharis did Mangal Arati every day. I mean, talk about an ecstatic Mangal Arati. 300 Brahmacharis at Mangal Arati. Before the conch blows. Actually, you have to sign in before the conch blows to show that they attended it. They monitor and make sure everybody's attending all the programs. You have to sign in before the conch blows that you're present at Mangal Arati. So this whole amazing movement of Krishna consciousness is just flourishing like anything. Book distribution, temples, brahmacharis, householders. They have 50 Namahat groups in our Pune temple alone, 50. And they have these programs by the university. Well, the temple will rent or purchase a facility near the campus. And the students will pay money to come and live in an ashram while they're going to school. They pay a fee to live in the ashram. They go to school and they study and they get Krishna consciousness teach training at the same time. Krishna conscious hostels for students. Krishna conscious, they call them different names. They call them BASE, which is Bhaktivedanta Academy for Cultural Education. They have another acronym in Pune.
Voice.
They have different acronyms for them. But it's wonderful. I give them lectures in these places. There's all these college students, and they're all, it was Tilak with japa beads, and completely ecstatic about Krishna consciousness, just waiting until they, in Pune, you have to graduate from college and work for 1 or 2 years in your field before you can move into the Brahmacharya Ashram. So they're all just waiting for when they can move in. They're going to finish their college degree, they're going to work for 1 or 2 years to pay off all their student loans, and they're going to move right into the temple. And they have so many. In India, there must be several hundred of these programs by the university campus, hundreds of them. It's just, and so that, so this was this huge, amazing phenomenon of ISKCON India happened because of a turmoil in ISKCON. So then Prabhupada understood why Krishna had done that, you see. So sometimes we think, oh, it's a bad thing, Krishna's punished me, you're testing me. No. Everything actually is for our benefit and the benefit of our preaching activities. We just have to see and have faith in Krishna. If anything happened in our life, how can we say that it is the will of Krishna? Or that is our past karma. Actually, karma is going on under the will of Krishna. So it's both. If you're within the material nature, for a pure devotee, you're not under the laws of karma. It's going under the direction of the internal energy. So either way, it's all ultimately under Krishna's direction. Whether you're being under the influence of the internal or the external energy, it's still Krishna's direction. Hare Krishna, thank you so much. In Vrindavanam, there is only one Krishna. But how can he still have relationships one-to-one with all the Vrindavan Vasis? Krishna is one, but just as he expanded himself into many in Dwarka, you know that? During the day, he would go to the place where he would do his duties as one Krishna. But at night, he would divide into 16,108 Krishnas. And he would go to each queen's palace. And each queen had her own private Krishna. And she was thinking, oh, I'm so fortunate. Those 16,107 other queens must be crying tonight. Because Krishna came to my palace, and he comes to my palace every night. I'm the most fortunate of all the queens. I feel sorry for them. What can I say? I'm the lucky one who gets Krishna every night. So in this way, in the same way, Krishna expands himself as your own. You have your own personal Krishna when you go back to Godhead. You have your own personal Krishna. You don't have to worry about waiting your turn. You have your own personal Krishna. And he's still one. It's amazing. So how can one remember references and use them appropriately and will you preach Shalapad, Srila Prabhupada's teachings to others? Drill, drill, drill. You have to practice, practice, practice. Just like right now I'm memorizing the Sanskrit and English for the Govindam prayers. And the English is sometimes rather complicated. It just takes a lot. You got to drill and drill and drill. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. This is an example. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in each and every one of the universes at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. So how could I say that so effortlessly? Drill, 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 drill. Practice, 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 practice. Yes?
Isn't it that we have to be convinced ourselves so that we can openly preach like that?
Yeah, you have to have the conviction also. Just like sometimes the little kiddies will be taught some verses for Janmashtami. But they don't have any realization that they can't really preach with those verses. They can stand up and say it, the Janmashtami, everybody applauds them, you know. But they can't preach it because they don't have the conviction to understand what goes behind it. So the conviction actually is the most important thing. Manaji in the back? You're writing it? Okay, good. I'm looking forward to your question. So, the first thing is you have to have the conviction, and you have to really work hard to memorize. You have to really make a concerted effort. You get your list of verses you want to learn, and you drill and you drill and you drill and you drill and you drill.
If we have a question like that, if I'm not convinced and I'm thinking maybe, then how can I preach?
Come again.
If I'm thinking maybe Krishna did this,
maybe Krishna. You have to be convinced. That's the most important thing, is you have the conviction. Because even if you only know one verse, if you have conviction, you can explain that verse in 1,000 different ways. If you have the conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can take even one verse and you can write a whole volume on that one verse. You see. Soul is made of what? Is it a combination of Satchitananda? Yes. Brahmaji saw Krishna face to face, according to the known pastime. Does it mean he attained Vrindavan Dham? Actually, Prabhupada explains in that lecture that Brahmaji realized he's the eternal maidservant of Krishna. That means Goloka. How do we understand that a person is under his past karma or doing future karma? Both. Everybody is acting under the influence of past karma and creating their future karma, except for one who has surrendered to Krishna. Everyone's doing that. That's par for the course for every single conditioned soul in this material world. They're acting out their previous karma and creating their future karma right now in everything they're doing. Can you please explain the difference between sin and offenses? Well, there's not much difference. How can we... They're actually synonymous words. You can use them interchangeably. How can we be free from them in this age of Kali? Only by developing the good habits of a Vaishnava. By developing Vaishnava qualities. Otherwise, you must continue to act sinfully and offensively as a non-Vaishnava. The only way out of it is to learn how to act as a Vaishnava by associating with Vaishnavas. It is said that we need to develop our character, become humble and submissive. how will we know how to become submissive but not still blind followers, as Prabhupada wanted us to be? Where is the fine line between submissiveness and blind following? The answer is Prabhupada's books. When I joined the movement, I was skeptical. I didn't want to be a blind follower. I wanted to follow Prabhupada, but I didn't want to follow some nonsense that somebody might be repeating in the name of Prabhupada. In fact, Prabhupada even told us one time in a letter. He said, there's so many false things in ISKCON. Prabhupada said this and Prabhupada said them. So Prabhupada confirmed it. You wouldn't believe the kind of stuff we used to hear, you know. You're only allowed 7 chickpeas, Prabhu. If you take more than 7 chickpeas, Prabhupada said, if you take more than 7 chickpeas, you'll fall down and have illicit sex. So, even if you're hungry, you know, you got 7 chickpeas, but Prabhu, can I? No, you can only, Prabhupada said you only have 7. We used to rule, you can only have 7 chickpeas, and that was it. Otherwise, you're just going to fall down, have illicit sex. So, you know, so how do you know? You want to be submissive, but you don't want to be a stupid, blind idiot, you know? So you have to read the books. You want to be sure you're not being taken from some fanatic devotee who wants to take you on a fanatical, you know, path, so-called bhakti path. How do you know you're not being taken for a fanatical ride? You have to read the books. You have to hear Prabhupada's lectures, read the letters, read everything you possibly can, hear the lectures. Prabhupada, 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 take as much Prabhupada into your ears as you possibly can. Every day for the rest of your life, and that'll protect you. That's the key. Even though we are chanting 16 rounds and following the 4 regulative principles, we are still unable to leave our traditional ways of worship. Well, I don't know what your traditional way of worship is, to answer the question. If it's demigod worship, is demigod worship? Is it worshiping the ghosts? I mean, what is it, you know? What type of worship is this? I'd have to know before I can answer. This is something we are allowed to live with along with Krishna consciousness. Please enlighten us. It depends. If you're worshiping Lord Ram, that's okay. Worshiping Lord Narayan, that's okay. Worshiping the demigods, nope. It depends. Actually, it's described by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur that someone who is worshiping Durga, if they take up Krishna consciousness, Durga becomes more pleased that they're worshiping Krishna, then she will give all facility to help that person in Krishna consciousness. So if you're talking about Durga worship, Durga will be more pleased with you if you give up worshiping her and worship Krishna, because she's actually acting in accordance with Krishna's will. Everything she's doing is under Krishna's will, as stated in the Brahma Samhita. There's a verse about Durga Devi in the Brahma Samhita. So if you will, if you're talking about Durga worship, don't do it. Just worship Krishna, and Durga will take that as better worship than worshiping her. How to increase the enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness? Associate with devotees who want to take over the whole world for Prabhupada. That'll increase your enthusiasm. Number 2, how to control the mind to consider only the good qualities of others. How to be humble. Understand, whatever you meditate on, that's what you're going to become. If all you do is find faults with everyone, then your faults will be magnified more and more and more. If you meditate on the good of others, then your good qualities will come out. How to control the mind, sitting and chanting before the deities, but the mind goes on a world tour. Well, try standing up. Another trick is just say, my dear mind, we can go on a world tour later on. Let's go on a tour of the whole creation? Why only the world tour? By focusing on Krishna, we're touring the whole, all the worlds, spiritual and material. Because Krishna, why tour some measly little universe when you can tour all the spiritual universes and mundane universes by just taking a complete shelter of Krishna? It's the greater world tour is to be totally absorbed in Krishna. Okay. How do we explain someone doing a wrong action and said that he's not to be blamed, as such as Krishna is a doer? No. Someone's doing something wrong, they are responsible. You can't say, well, everything is under Krishna's direction, so I'm not responsible. It's like saying, well, you know, I joined Al-Qaeda, and my Al-Qaeda leader told me I have to, you know, murder 500 people in downtown Melbourne, so it's not really my fault. I'm just following my authority. You can't blame me for killing 500 people in Melbourne. I was just ordered by my Al-Qaeda superior. I had to do it because otherwise they'd shoot me dead. So I had no choice. Well, it was your choice to die in Al-Qaeda, sir, so you're responsible. Sorry. Death penalty, boy, for you. You see? So you can't say, because it's all, I'm not really doing it. I'm just under the, you know, higher, I'm acting under higher powers. No. You chose to soothe the material energy, so therefore you get the result for everything you do while you're under the influence of the material nature. How do I know the love of Krishna is glowing in my heart? Because if you will know it, if your desire for material sense gratification is going away, then your love for Krishna is definitely awakening. What is Krishna doing right now? Well, I can tell you, he's playing his flute, and it sounds really sweet. If I follow all the principles and practice all the things which devotees do, what is the guarantee I will attain Krishna's devotional service? If you follow everything, the guarantee is 100%. One of the major obstacles in my way to Krishna consciousness is if I'm in a temple and if my girlfriend comes there at the same time, I might start looking at her rather than Krishna. Have her dress in a sari with tilak. Instead of coming with short shorts, you know, and a low-cut shirt or something. Have her come with a nice sari and tilak, and that will help. And then you would see your girlfriend, you're reminded of Krishna and the gopis, you see. So have your girlfriend dressed in a nice sari with tilak, and that will help. Does sex exist in the spiritual world? Actually, sex begins in the spiritual world and loving affairs between Radha and Krishna, but they don't have intercourse. Intercourse is very base. Body nasty activity. That's low class, actually. But we can use it for producing children. But that high class sex relationship, there's no, it's called adiras in Sanskrit, but there's no question of sexual intercourse. It's a gross thing, like, you know, passing stool or something. How should we dispose flyers which contain Lord's pictures or photos of ISKCON gurus? Well, what I do, because a lot of things are handed to me. Of course, if you have 10,000 of them, it's another thing. If I just, sometimes people give me something, I have a lot of books, you know, in my library back in my ashram in Texas. So I just stick it in a book as a bookkeeper, as a bookmark. If it's just one, if you have 500 flyers with Krishna on it, the best thing is to put them to the shredder instead of putting them in the garbage. You know, with this merging of the garbage with all kinds of filth. If you have 500 flyers left over you couldn't pass out with Krishna's picture, I recommend just shredding them. That's the best thing. So you don't have Krishna's picture there with some, you know, garbage dump with some, you know, all sorts of dirty, nasty things mixed with it. If it's shredded, then it's, you know, that's one thing you can do. Okay. Well, good. We're making the 10-minute deadline, I think. I just got let's see if I can. Modern civilization, model, this is from last night. Model civilization, my vision, understanding, is it so? see, modern civilization, something in virtual. Is it virtual? Is it real? Both are real. This mundane world is real. This modern so-called civilization, unfortunately, is a reality, but it's not the permanent reality. Both are real. One is temporary and the other is permanent. Human beings enjoy that it is permanent. That's their illusion, because it's not. In the modern civilization, they avoid materialistic enjoyment and only think of God in the model civilization, because they're getting a higher taste, and materialistic enjoyment no longer interests them because it's so low class. It's a low class pleasure, a cheap thrill. One who gets the superior thrill of Krishna Bhakti has no interest in some cheap, low class thrills. For example, how many of you get excited if I give you some bubble gum? Would you take it and chew it and blow bubbles? Maybe the kids would, but how many of the adults would be, oh, wow, thank you for this bubble gum. I'm going to chew it, you know, blow some bubbles. I mean, you know, who wants it, you know? You see what I'm saying? For someone, or like as little kids, we played marbles. Any of you played marbles when you were kids? We used to throw baseball cards also. But when you grow up, who cares for these, you know, for activities of little children? So for one who becomes mature, he enjoys on a higher level. These other pleasures are just like, you know, that's a silly thing. I wouldn't want to waste my time doing that. Something is it, or the beginning, but later it is worse because of lack of understanding and the glories of the Almighty. Is it not at the beginning? I can't read the handwriting. But the model civilization is actually ecstatic from the very beginning, and it becomes more ecstatic the more you absorb yourself in it. Okay. Then here's just a comment. Know God, N-O, know God, know peace, N-O, peace. Know God, K-N-O-W, K-N-O-W, and know peace. That's a thing. If you don't have God, you can't have peace, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 5:29. And if you know God, you will realize great peace of mind and happiness. This is a very nice little thing. Know God, know peace, know God, and know peace. So that's very good. So our time is up. And we thank you all very, very much for coming tonight. I hope it has made some impression on you so that your dedication to Krishna will become redoubled. I hope that somehow or other your thirst for Krishna has become doubled. As Radharani has very nicely stated, we'll make this concluding thing here. She says, Manamara Vamadina Jalavina Yenamina Krishna Vina Chanimarayaya Madura Harshavadane Mananetriya Sayane Krishna Trishna Dvigunavadaya. If my impoverished mind does not think of Krishna, it dies within a minute, just like a Jalavina Yenamina, a fish out of water. But when I see Krishna's sweetly smiling face, my Krishna Trishna, my thirst for Krishna, immediately doubles. So I hope somehow or other you can get some enthusiasm and some energy from tonight's question and answer session to double your thirst for Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.